This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers and for those who like to read. My guest today is Chris Gibson, who has a very interesting presentation today, because he is not only a best-selling author himself, he has turned this into a business and where he helps other authors get their books out there, and many of them have achieved best-selling status, which is what every writer is looking for. Now, there are a lot of sort of tricks to the trade, knowing how to get out there and get your book noticed. It's not easy, and so that's why I'm very happy to have Chris here with me today to tell us how he's done it and how he can help people.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and be able to share this information.
That's great. Now, give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll talk about what you do for other authors.
Sure, absolutely. My story is a little strange that I was in the corporate world for that was my past life, as I call it, before I actually became published. And I always had a passion in health and wellness, and I put together about 10 years ago a little book called Acne Free in 3 Days and put it out, and it really surprised us. It did very, very well. Up until then, I had been putting together like training manuals for companies that I worked for, business type of material, and putting it out online as an ebook. And so I turned to the health and wellness that I had a passion about to put something out to help people, and it took off. That sort of started the journey of getting a book out, because I didn't know anything. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I had a little ebook, a little electronic document. Amazon wasn't really doing anything 10, 15 years ago. So we didn't have the tools. You had to kind of still go the traditional route. So we chugged along. The book did very well. Turned it into a paperback, and then eventually a hardcover, and then had to go about trying to get it into the bookstores, which was not very easy to do, you know, because they have buyers. And just like anything, they want to make sure a book sells. So we came up the traditional route kind of backwards. So I learned the business in reverse order. So it's really benefited me too as things have developed, and we have an Amazon today that's a platform that allows many authors a level playing field. And because Amazon is so big now, what I try to do is help people channel through there and then get into the bookstore. So I have sort of a different strategy, but having sold over 1 million books, I know that it works. So, and that's what I try to do. I try to help people do what I did. While I still am working on my second edition of Acne Free in 3 Days, I just saw help. When I started going to organizations and networking, there were authors that had really good material, had spent a lot of money making the book a quality book, had it professionally edited, did everything that needed to be done, and they weren't getting anywhere. They were investing thousands and thousands of dollars. Then I was finding out that they were going and hiring these companies, some of them the spinoffs of the big book publishers, and paying them $20,000, $30,000 to get a book out, and then getting a list of things to do back. So what I wanted to do was to help authors with a small and the medium budget that had a real passion for what they were doing, had really put effort into their book to get it to do as well as it could do. There's no promise in the market. You know, people have to like the book, obviously. At some point, you need momentum from that. But if all of the other things are not stacked in your favor, it's so hard to break through. It's very difficult, and you can just spend thousands and thousands of dollars and get nowhere. So I developed a strategy based on my history, based on what I know and my contacts that I have, which is very valuable to me, and then started helping these authors get through. And the first couple that I did went right to bestseller. I mean, it took us a little while, but we got there. They became number one bestsellers on Amazon, which gave us fuel to go back through the distributors to the bookstore buyers and say, hey, this is a popular book. It did well at Amazon. We would like to try to get it in the store. So as we've gone through the last couple of years and Amazon has added more and more tools for authors to use, it's made it, it's not easier, but if you know what to do, if you understand how it works, how Amazon works, just like Google does, everybody's searched something.
Well, you know, I've you know, dealt with the whole thing of getting onto Amazon and all of that. It's like a jungle. You mm-hmm. have to keep pushing things aside and pushing things aside to try to find the path, because yes. you really, you're sort of like the machete.
Yeah.
You know, you come in and know where to whack, because it is a very complex thing to do nowadays.
It is.
Now, do you primarily work with people who've already published a book, and or do you work with them before they get published? At which level
both.
Do you?
Both. I do both. I like to get in. People come to me through referrals. Obviously, that's what happens. I don't really advertise what I do, but if I can get in early, it's easier, because we can do things in the beginning, like with the book description and all the things at Amazon that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, the weights that they use in order to make a book pop up when you search for it. But I also go back and rescue books that have been languishing there, have been put out and have sat down. And I've gone so far back as a 3-year-old book and been able to get it to number one through a variety of resources. And a lot of it is marketing, but a lot of the other side of it is Amazon is complex, and because they don't really, what's the word? They don't look at the books that come in. They don't segregate them. So you could be mixed in with a lot of just kind of mediocre stuff. You know, that mm-hmm. there are authors that write tons and tons of books, and they sell them for a couple of bucks. And they it's how they make their money. So you've got that going against you, too.
Yeah, sort
how
of quantity,
you,
and then
find
the quality.
The quality part is hard to maneuver. So what I do is I go in and look. Well, for example, I'll take an author's book. We'll talk about The Rescue first, a book that's just been sitting there. And I will go and look at how many reviews they have against the other books that are in their categories, and see how many reviews they need, because that's a weight that Amazon uses for a book to pop up when you're looking for that kind of material. So let's use my book, Acne Free in 3 Days, for example. If someone types in acne, that's a keyword. Over 100,000 titles on Amazon are going to pop up, you know, and you're only going to see the first 6 or 7 on that first page. So just like when you're searching for something on Google, it's very rare for you to keep going down much further. You might go 2 or 3 pages back. Well, most of the authors that come to me, their book is 19 pages back, 20 pages back, down on that catalog, on the online catalog. So our job is to try to figure out what makes that book show up on the top. And it's not always a bestseller. I mean, you know, there are best-selling books that have a lifespan and they're on there. But it always has to do with how many reviews, what the pricing is. Is it competitive? Because they have an algorithm for that. How old the book is, which is something you can't control, really. How much activity comes to the book. And what I mean by that is not necessarily sales. Amazon tracks page reads and looks. So if you're sending people to your book, even if they're not buying, that's a weight that they use.
So when like I like to go to Amazon, so when I click on that look inside, that is important.
Yes, and you read a couple of pages, that counts towards that author's activity. That means someone's looking at that book. And Amazon takes in all that information and decides, okay, here is a book that will put some weight out. And what they do for you is they will market it, and you'll see that sometimes you'll see it says people who bought this book also bought this.
Yes,
or we
I
recommend
see,
this
yes.
to you. You get the email, we recommend based on your preferences, these are books you might want to check out. You want Amazon to do that because it's the only way to reach their database. It's the only way to reach all those people. So if you launch a book on Amazon and you do it correctly, so now moving back from rescue, and we fix those things, and then we relaunch the book. And this is where it becomes the same as a new book. We go in and we figure out how many reviews we need to have. We go about getting them and try to get as many of those in before we relaunch or before we launch. We look at pricing. We look at the book description and make sure it's keyword dense. And what that means is both Google and Amazon look, when people are looking for books and the book begins to get momentum, a lot of times the book description will show up. You'll see the title and then it'll have a piece of the book description. Well, that needs to have keywords. And by keywords, I mean search terms that have to do with your material. So for acne, breakouts would be a search term. That would be a keyword. Skin cleanser. You know, pimples, all those kind of things, those words that we associate with acne, acne scarring, are all keywords that I would want to make sure were included in my book description, because I want to reach all those people that are looking in those areas. So if someone goes and types in acne scarring, and that's one of my keywords, and my book is doing well, that's going to pop up for them as an option. So that's going to get me in front of people that have acne scarring. So that's how you reach all those pockets, because it's not just your main category. It's gardening. If you wrote a book on gardening, that's your main keyword. But thousands and thousands of titles are going to come up on that. And, of course, they're going to push the newer books. So you kind of have to manipulate that a little bit. And that's what I do for people, is stack the cards in their favor before their launch. And I take books that aren't doing well and go back and relaunch them. And there's nothing better than getting to put that number one or even bestseller. Maybe you get in the top 10. That's still a best-selling book.
Oh, absolutely.
Either one of those things makes a difference when you go to an outside buyer, makes a difference when you go to a book fair, to have that on your book.
Because I interviewed a gentleman who wrote, I think, a fabulous book. It's just so tightly paced. It's so exciting. It's as good as really some of the top bestsellers that I've interviewed. And yet what he did is, not knowing really how to get into the whole world of publishing, he published with a small company. And as I said, it's such a professionally done book. The editing is perfect. The design is everything is so perfect about it. But because he went with a small publisher who doesn't, in general, a lot of publishers don't do much, but this particular small publisher doesn't, he's had no sales. And I just feel so bad for him, because people should read this book. It is just a marvelous read. So you could take somebody like that for example, in his case, the book is I'd say maybe it's more like 4 years old. You think you could take that book and work with him and get him moving?
Sure, absolutely. Because the reason that can be done is you have to think of Amazon is just like Google. It's a search engine. So while the age of the book is a weight, that doesn't mean that you can't correct the keywords, get all of the things stacked in your favor, get the activity in the reviews, and start sending some traffic to the book. And that begins to push the book up. So, that will get it statistically there to a bestseller. And then what happens is Amazon turns around and it will start recommending the book, and you start to get some momentum. And that's how you get sales. Because everybody wants, Kindles are great, but there's not a lot of money in a Kindle unless you do a lot of volume. And you're not going to do a lot of volume unless you have momentum and a lot of eyes on there. So what we try to do is get Amazon to help us, because it's less expensive. When I started, and I tell people this, I go, how did you sell a million books? We were spending this, we weren't even on Amazon. I mean, they had carried the hardcovers. We sent them those, but we weren't really doing anything. We didn't even have a Kindle version of that book until I think 2011, so we were very much on the traditional side. And to try to get that momentum to get the book for the print book to sell, because that's where there's more money, if you want to make money. So it's we were spending like $10,000 a month on Google AdWords. Now, we were making a lot of money on the book. So we were selling it, and that didn't even convince the bookstores to carry it. We were giving them numbers. We're selling thousands of copies of these online. And so there's still that quality issue. And that's why I go back to the fact that when I find an author that's done a lot of work on their book, they, like you're describing, it's a shame that those books languish, because so much of the stuff on Amazon, especially on the Kindle side, is like how-to. It's written by people that are trying to be experts in their field. There's a lot of fluff. Amazon doesn't, I won't say they don't do a good job. I think they do this for a reason, but they don't really help you separate yourself out. They don't give you a list. They do these things, and you'll set yourself apart from that group of people. I mean, everybody knows when you go on Amazon to search for any kind of book, and you can see the covers are sometimes kind of,
Yeah.
Or you open them and there's not much there. It's maybe 60 pages, and they want $3 or $4 for a book. That's not going to sell on Amazon very well. So there are things that even beyond what I'm talking about that we look at, like page numbers is a thing. You want to be careful on Amazon if you're doing a digital copy, because if it's under a certain amount of pages, they call it a short read. And they treat short reads much different than regular books. It's an algorithm. You can sell short reads. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just you're not going to get the play in front of their audience that you would with a full, 90 to 120 page book. Yeah. That's what they like to see. 60, 50, and that's okay. Sometimes little manuals. I have a little guide out that's just recipes from when I was on television from skincare. That's all it is. It's a short read and it sells very well. So, but doesn't make me tons of money. It's like $1.99 and they give me 70%. So,
Well, so you when now give us a case of study. Can you talk about a particular book? Somebody
yeah.
who's
sure. I have two that are really good examples. I have one that's a rescue and one that is a book that we got in the beginning and started working with. I'll talk about.
And when you say we, you're referring to what? You have a company now.
I do the marketing on my own, but I partnership with a publisher here locally that's well known in the state and does a really good job quality wise, design wise. I had a hard time. I really shied away from publishing companies because unless you know the person, you don't really know the integrity there. And as you said, they all have different levels of service, and the way they describe their services sometimes are, I don't say misleading, but it leads you to feel like you're going to get a lot more help than you do.
Yeah.
You know, so I got introduced to someone here when I started working with authors locally first that did all the right things on the publishing side, but didn't have the marketing and told, you know, I don't do marketing. There are two books that I'm going to pull from that because one that you need a publishing imprint if you're going to get in a bookstore. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. You got to have, it can be your own if you set up a business name to put on there, but you never want a book written by you, published by you. If you want to get in the bookstores, it doesn't matter on Amazon, you can do that. But if you want to have your book eventually on the shelf in Barnes & Noble, then it needs to have a publishing imprint. So I needed wanted someone that was doing that. So now I have authors come to me and she's able to give them a publishing imprint so we'd be able to move books that way. I know it sounds very complicated, but our business is very complicated. And that's why, you know, I get really incensed when I see these advertisements that seem so straightforward. I'm like, oh, that's not, you're gonna be doing a lot more work on your book. So the two books that I wanna talk about, the first one was a new book that is a crime novel. The Other Brooklyn by Bob Aiva.
Okay, hold on a moment. I think I need to take a commercial break, and because Big Ed is in there in the control room waving his hand at me and smiling, and we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. On January 30th, when best-selling author Tim Dorsey will be signing autographs of his latest adventure, Coconut Cowboy. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Pat Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Chris Gibson, who's going to talk to us about two case studies of authors that he has helped to turn into bestsellers. Hi. Great. Nice to have you here, Chris. So let's get back to this. What you're doing, I think, is a fantastic thing, helping authors to move their books forward, because it is not easy out there to get noticed as an author. So tell us about the
Sure.
two books you wanted to mention.
Sure. There are two that I want to talk about. And the first one is a book that was brand new. It's called The Other Brooklyn by Baba Eva. He's a local author. And it's a great story. A lot of quality went into the book. I actually wrote the book description for that book that's on the physical book. He wanted to have someone help him take his book forward. I mean, it's a novel. It's fiction, but it's based on some, you know, nonfiction things that he experienced in his life. So what we did was we looked at the strategy to sell the book, and really within that particular book, we saw that we could take it and break it into three books as well. So we have the main book, The Other Brooklyn, and then we took that and turned it into three separate series books. This is a strategy that we used. So, and it's a lengthy book. The book is not short. So what we did was we launched The Other Brooklyn. We'd used all the resources that I do. We set up all of the things to get people to go there and look at it. We did all the things I talked about. We knew how many reviews we needed. We knew where it needed to be priced. This is the digital version. This is what you use. And I'll explain why you use digital to do this in just a second. Then we went about setting up and making sure that we announced the book was going to be available. It was going to be up for promotion for a few days. Amazon gives you, in their KDP Select program, a 5-day period to promote your book. And in that 5-day period, you give your digital version away for free. However, those count as sales in their algorithm. So if you get in there and you do this right, and you have 2,000 or 3,000 people, I had one author, 16,000 people up in New York, downloaded his book. Obviously, they're counting that as a sale. They're not paying you for that sale, but they're counting it in your statistics. So that's moving your book up through all those. I've had books start at 250,000 down in a category, and in 2 days shoot up to number one if you do this right. So what it does, it pushes the book. Now the book is number one. So when people are going in for that period of time and looking, your book is showing up for them. And Amazon is watching that. By watching it, it's all electronic. It's software that does it. But it's
no, we don't have a little guy.
Yeah,
everybody,
I'd love to think it was a person that would actually do this, but no, it's an algorithm.
Well, maybe they should set up a whole little thing down there Amazon.
They do need a person that reviews these before they allow them in their system, and then we probably all have an easier time. But the book gets up there, and now it's competitive with other titles that are not in promotion. So you're beating titles that people are going and finding and paying for. So Amazon looks at that. And if you can get the book to do well, and then when the promotion is over, if you have, and this is what I do for people, set up resources to make sure there's activity going to the book, and maybe a sale here, a sale there, Amazon turns out, all right, this isn't just one of these up and down things. This is somebody who's really doing something. And then they will begin to market your book for you. And then what I do is I go back in and I look at the keywords that we selected again to make sure that they're pulling. And this is where it gets a little tricky for everybody, and where what I do is it's a little intuitive. I've tried this with software, and it doesn't work very well. There are softwares to help you do this, but they don't work very well. I've tried them.
You still need a human mind.
Because, I mean,
so we're not going to be extinct
soon. No, there's no software that can feel. Books are feely things. I mean, they're not.
It's an emotional thing.
There's especially on the nonfiction side. So what I do is I go in and I look at the books that have been number one, how long they've been number one. I look at the keywords that are pulling for them. I look at what categories they're listed in. And then I am able to pull out enough information to figure out what I need to do. And then we run the promotion we use 3 of the 5 days. I'm giving away all my secrets. But we use 3 of the 5 days and save 2 for later, 30 days later. We see how the book performs. I go back. I look at the keywords. I look at where the activity was coming from. And if I have dead ones in there, like keywords that didn't do so well, I go and replace them. And then we do 30 days later another launch. So what we have is we have a launch. We do well. We get to number one. Hopefully we get in the top 10 of all books in Amazon, because that's the three. They're going to give you categories, and then they're all books that are free during the promotion time. If you can get up in that top 100 even, but really in the top 10 of all the books in promotion, Amazon's really going to take a look at putting some energy behind that to see if they can get it to, you know, go for you. So we do that. The promotion ends. The book goes back to retail price. You get some sales because we have resources that are sending traffic to the book during this time.
Meanwhile, this is all digital.
This is all on the digital side.
We're on the digital side.
Yeah, because you can't do anything on the print side. They have no program, none of them. Barnes & Noble, you can't do anything except just send people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about that too, how to how to get the bookstores to want your book. But we do that. Then we make the adjustments, and then about 28 to 30 days later, we run the other two days. So what happens is you have the book come up, you have it do well, you have activity still going to it, Amazon begins to market it for you, then you come in about a month later and give it a kick. So rather than what a lot of people do is use these promotions, they turn it on, the book will do okay, it'll get downloads, it might even get in the top 1,000, maybe in the top 100 if the person knows what they're doing. But then as soon as that promotion is over, nothing happens. So we want to avoid that gap. So we try to,
because
terrible. Amazon goes, oh, well, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Anybody can do that first part, but not everybody can keep activity on a book. So that's how we launch, and it's how we get the book to move forward on the digital side. Now, if I'm rescuing a book, I go back, and it's similar, with the exception that I go and make a lot of changes. Usually, sometimes I change the category. You know, Amazon's not very helpful. When you go in to select your categories when you put your book in, it's not like when you're using Ingram or Baker & Taylor where they can help you with that, use the codes, they kind of know what to do. So if you're on your own and you're putting your book in there, you still, even from if you're using CreateSpace, you still have to put in the keywords. You still have to choose your categories, and it doesn't say these are the best categories for your type of book. The only tool they have now that helps us with anything is there's a little beta tool in there that will tell you authors that had a similar book where the price and the amount of books sold meet. So you kind of know where the peak is. They do that now. That's just something they've done in the last year. So we take the book that we're rescuing and make the appropriate changes to the digital side. And then we do the same thing. We launch it 3 days and then five. And then what happens is that book comes up from the ranking. The only thing we can't do anything about is the age of the book. Unless a person wants to, and I do recommend this sometimes to people, if I look at what their material is, if it's really old, if it's 5, 6, 7 years old, I say, why don't you do a new edition? Let's change, 27, 30% of the book, add a couple of chapters, let's do something new. The other option, if the book is really good and it just didn't get the help it needed, is to change ISBNs and republish the book. So you can do it. There are ways around it, mm-hmm. but those are all a little more complicated other than just a rescue where I go in. And for a lot of people, especially serial writer authors, where they're writing romance novels or they have a series of health books, we'll go back and rescue, but we're not going to do too much. We just want to get those books up, get a seal on them so that their new books are being helped by that.
Uh-huh.
Now, Bob's book, The Other Brooklyn, we broke into a series, and we did that for a purpose. The strategy was to launch the first one, which we did, and got to bestseller status, which we did, then to go and subsequently launch each of the other three books one at a time through the summer. So what we had was we had these overlapping promotions going on. We had The Other Brooklyn for 3 days, then we did 2 days, then we rested, then we took book one, we launched it, right? Then we took book two and launched it, and then after book two launched, book one got the 2 day pop. Do you see what I mean?
Rolling effect.
So we
exactly.
went from May to September promoting his name and his books on Amazon, and every time someone would buy one of the series books, they would, well, I want the whole book.
Yeah.
They would go back and buy the other book. So that process really worked well for him.
And you started with him right at the beginning. He hadn't
yes.
been published.
No.
And mm-hmm. and. You worked with him also, like, even on the cover art
yes.
and to make sure that
yeah, Ginger, the publisher partner that I have, she helped him with the cover. I wrote the book description that went on the physical book because in the end, those same characteristics are going to make a book do well on the print side. It's just you can't manipulate that stuff is the problem. You either get a print sale or you don't. And the only way you get print sales is to advertise. And I'm going to talk about that, too, in a minute. Hopefully, I have a lot to talk about today.
Oh, good. I'm for it, yeah.
So that is basically the strategy to get the book to number one. And, yes, if your digital version is a number one bestseller or a best-selling book, then, yes, you are a best-selling book on the print side because Amazon does a differentiate. They even put your reviews together now. They used to separate them. But as long as your title and your book description are the same, it's the same book. even if you have an ISBN for your digital that's different than your print, they still combine your reviews, which is very helpful because they didn't used to do that. It used to infuriate me because you could get a tacky review on one side and it would bring your digital version down and have great reviews on your print side. Because there's always that one out there, right?
Yeah.
That didn't like your book.
Oh, yes.
That you can't do anything about.
Well, it's amazing. Best-selling authors, they will sometimes, you know, you see they have five stars, five stars, five stars, and suddenly one star from somebody who says, "Oh, I just don't know why this writer uses bad language. Terrible book. Oh, just a terrible book." And they give it one star. They're like, "Oh, I'm."
And there's nothing you can do about that. However, I will give you this tip. If that happens to you and you get a crummy review, all you have to do is ask everybody, and you can do this yourself, to go in and click that review is not helpful, and they'll push it down.
It
does affect it.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea because I do put if I see a review, of course I read so many books and I thing, but if I see a review that's really helpful, I do mark.
Yes,
that it
you
was
should
helpful.
Always click you on your own books. You should do this, and you should have ask people.
Well,
to
I
do
don't
that.
Think I don't think even most writers know that they're supposed to do
you
that.
You go in there, and the reviews that you like and are most helpful, you click was helpful. If that was a crummy one that wasn't valid, you can click that. Now, here's a dangerous thing. Amazon gives you the author the ability to reply to a tacky review.
Ooh, that can be dangerous.
I recommend you don't do anything to it unless it was an editorial mistake or if there was a typo or your first time you put your Kindle out, the formatting doesn't look right. It sometimes is good to go in and thank the person for pointing that out and letting them know you're
going to
take care of it. You really appreciate that they took the time to do that. Because when people read that, they see that, go, that author's really cool.
Yeah.
So that I do recommend. But outside of that, don't say anything. Because if you go in and reply, it gives that review more weight.
Uh-huh.
See, because you've replied to it. Just like on a blog. And if anybody who has blogs knows, the things that you reply to come to the top because it has an answer. So you want to watch that. So the deal is, and I tell folks this when they come to me, that you always have to keep in mind, no one wants your book. No one. And if you don't believe me, read, you know, the author of Harry Potter's story, and you'll find out how hard it was for her to get that book out. No one wanted it. You know, no one's going to read that. You know, I had the same thing.
It's hard to believe that. You know, it's still hard to believe when you hear that story that no one wanted this book. And then last week she buys a $22 million yacht.
Yeah.
You think, oh, boy.
And not only that, when she did get someone to want the book in Europe, they didn't want it in the U.S. So it just was this story. It's really worth going and looking that up online and reading it because it will give you, I think, some inspiration on what I call shameless self-promotion. If you really want your book to do well, and I'll share this because it's absolutely true. I have an author who has a ton of money and doesn't want to do anything outside of just spending money on marketing. And the book does okay. You know, marketing works. I mean, obviously, the more people you send to something and try to sell them on, you're going to get sales. But it costs money. Then I have this other author who doesn't have a budget at all, but is always talking about his book, is at every networking function, is at, and he's in the military, so he works his network there. And it's a really good book on hiring people that come back. And his book is always in the top 100 at Amazon, and we don't spend a dime on marketing it. But it's the activity that he sends there constantly, even if they don't buy, keeps pushing that book up. So that's something to know. You don't have to be rich. You do need to be prepared to spend a little bit of money. There may be some things you can do. And what I try to do is for each book and each author, I always, because I'm an author too, and I've chunked the money out there, believe me, for no reason, I try to match the resource that I think will be best for them to them. So where you might go to a company that's publishing and marketing, a lot of times they sell you a package deal. And it may include some things that aren't good for you that they're not going to do, but they just sell their package. It's easy. I don't do it that way. What I do is if a person comes to me, one, I have to accept the book. I have to make sure it's got a shot. And then I match up what will work and what, you know, what's the best shot. There are no guarantees. You can take out a full page ad. I was on television. Good Morning America, Daily Buzz, putting green avocado facial on George Foreman in a $3,000 Italian suit, right? Don't drop any on me, kid.
Oh, my God.
This type of thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to upset that man.
And I could not get the bookstores to take the book. I'm like, this is insane. So shifting to what I was going to talk about, getting in the bookstores, because that seems to be every author that comes to me.
Wants.
The dream.
They want to walk through that bookstore.
Or to be going through the airport like I did finally and see my book in the Hudson bookstore, stare at my own thing, staring me in the face. Bookstores are, sometimes they're a good path for an author, sometimes they're not. Sometimes I'll tell an author, you know, really, you could do well at Amazon and still get all the TV and you could do all that stuff and not have to ever be in a bookstore. It's okay. You know, bookstores are like Walmart. They only want to carry stuff they can sell. They have a limited amount of shelf space. Stuff has to move in a certain amount of time. You have to have a publishing imprint. You have to have a way to return books if they don't get sold. And what they typically do, if they take you on, they agree to take you on first. It's not like the bookstore agrees to take you on and says, here, send me 9,000 books. That's not how it works. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But if you can get the buyer to say, yeah, we'll give you a shot on our shelves, they're going to want 7 to 10 books because people like to walk in and see more than one copy, knowing they're only going to sell one or two, and they want to be able to return the others. And that's why they don't work with self-publishers. They're not going to trust an author to refund the money. So that should make sense to most people. That's the real walls to why you need a publisher if you're going to be in the bookstore. That's your ultimate goal. What you do is once you get the buyer to take the book, and you don't have to have a literary agent, you can do it, but you basically have to submit to Barnes & Noble, even though you're going to be on BarnesandNoble.com already if you're using something like CreateSpace or Ingram. Your book will be available online, but this is getting in the store. You have to get the store system to agree to put your book available for the store to order. Now, here's what you do. If you have that, and you get your book in there, and we have authors that do this, you begin to send people to the store to order the book. That's what you do. Now, I have been selling my own books for about 6 years when is a digital version, and then we had the paperback, and now it was in the hardcover. And we got the buyer at 90 phone calls, 90. The 90th call, a buyer picked up the book and said, you know what, this is really good, we'll give it a shot. Well, I'll make it available in the system for the store to order it. Now, they'll order it if they want it, but the best way to do it is for you to send traffic to the store. So we had to shift our whole business model from me sending people to a website to order from us to now going to the bookstores. So what happens is when the person goes in and asks for your book in print, the bookstore orders it, it's expensive for them to order that one book. So if enough of those start showing up different places, they go, well, this is ridiculous. We're not going to do this. We'll just order 100 books. That's what gets the ball rolling. That's how it works. Now, if you get on Good Morning America after that point and you're able to send a lot of foot traffic in the stores like I did, I just said, I didn't even send them to my website anymore. I said, just send them to Barnes & Noble for the book. So now they had all these people coming in. Every time I was in a city on TV talking about skincare and acne and chemicals and all the stuff that I talk about, people would go, they were calling and order the book. A lot of people had ordered online, but there were a fair share of people wanted a physical book from the store. So we got an order for 9,000 books, after that. So it can turn into something for you. So
that's a big
and
order.
Then you're everywhere. Yeah, and that's what I was.
Yeah, once you get to that point, then you're.
But yeah, there is no. Even the big publishing houses will take on books. They'll provide in advance, although they're not what they used to be. They still want you to do marketing. They still want you to spend money on that. And then they tell you there's no guarantee your book's going to make it. A lot of books that go through random, whoever, it doesn't matter. They don't all make it. So it's not just because somebody's writing for a large publisher does that mean that their book is going to be a huge success. It's not what guarantees it. It is the book's quality, readability, stickiness, the things it's almost like you go out to eat and you hear this person sing and you're like, wow, this person should be famous. They're just ridiculous. But why aren't they famous? And then we have to hear people that are auto-tuned, that they're pop stars. It's very much the same way when you get into that realm. The book has to have likability. It has to get momentum and word of mouth. That's what takes over. So if all the things I've been talking about is like a building process, or it should be coming across that way, where we start off and we stack the cards in the favor of the book. We get it to get noticed. Then we submit it to like shows and get awards on it, things that we can get the local newspaper to actually publish something about. Start local. We do book shows. We book fairs. I met at this last book fair that was here in Tampa, I met Bela Lugosi, the famous actor, all the horror movies. Uh-huh. I met his grandson at the book fair, and we were talking about, he is, you would think, a shoo-in, right?
Yeah.
He's writing on Dracula, the first Dracula, Bela. He's writing on a story of Dracula, has this whole new series of books, and he's struggling to get them noticed. And this is somebody with a famous person, yeah, you know, you would think it would be like, boom, you know, yeah, what's the big deal?
But it's not easy.
It's not easy.
And as you said, I mean, I have talked to authors who are published by the top publishing houses, but they just don't get the traction. And, you know, they're like sometimes in shock, like they expected so much more. And so it isn't easy. Now, you mentioned Ginger, who's your partner.
Yeah, Ginger Marks. She's a member of FAPA, which is the publishing kind of the, what do you call it, like a, not a fraternity, but it's like our official publishing group in Florida. They're recognized and they're certified in certain areas, and they're able to help authors with, you know, where to get the books, doing book fairs, get awards. They're all of that kind of stuff, the publishing side. And so she has Document Publishing, which is a little strange name. It's Doc U as a U, M-E-A-N-T, almost like document, question mark,
yeah,
publishing. So document.com. And what she, her side of things is she's able to get the book covers and the designs done correctly. And why that's important, and this is another tip for new authors especially, and authors who have books that aren't moving. You may want to look at your book cover as it appears in the thumbnail version on Amazon. And if you can't read any of the writing or it gets mottled, then that's not
a cover.
Yeah, it's a bad cover and you need to fix it. I have gone in and I've seen her change book covers and books start doing better, start getting sales because the cover makes you want to click on it. It's sort of like sending out an email. Everybody gets thousands of emails, right? Spam, even though we have laws against it, it's a ton. There'll be that one email in there that you know is spam, but because of the way they wrote the subject line, you got to see what that is. I mean, it's weird. So you go in there and, you know, it sucks to be poor was one that I got. I was like, okay, well, what is that about? So your book cover has to do the same thing. When people go on there, there's all of these different books with all this different rankings and stuff, and it's very visual in that mode. So the person on the Amazon page that's searching for something looks at that and it's like, oh, well, I like that cover. And that's, it sounds like that should, like I'm splitting hairs, but it really is that important that the cover pull. It pull for the people that are having, from that particular audience. So she works in that area to make sure book covers resonate and look good. And she's won awards for all of that sort of thing. And then she does formatting because, as we know, Amazon is a technological platform, which means that back in the day, you could put a PDF in there, and it would look okay. That doesn't work anymore. And then we went to, I think, Mobi, and then we went to EPUB, and now they've got a new one that's coming out, another format that they're going to want people to use. So if you're not versed in formatting, you need to hire a formatter so that the book looks right in the e-version.
And yes, because there's nothing worse than getting an e-version where you get a few lines on a page, and then you have a blank page, and then you have pages that don't have the right indentations, and I give up on books like that. When I get a book like I give up. I can't read it.
And you don't want to spend a ton of money on the digital version with a lot of images and special fonts, because let me tell you, most people, and I do this, when we read a book, I go to text only if I'm reading it, unless it's got charts that go with something. It's text only. So what you want to do is you want to circumvent a lot of artwork unless it's absolutely necessary to the story that's in your print book, in your digital version. And what you can do in your print and your digital version is say, for the full experience of the story along with the artwork, please purchase the print version. You can say that in your digital version at the end of the book. You can put anything in the digital version at the end. You can tell people how to follow you. You can all kinds of things. So what I tell people is don't spend that, because formatting is very expensive. And when you start getting to layers with all that artwork, Most people turn that stuff off. Yeah. They're not even looking at that. So save the money there, put it into marketing, and then tell people if you want, you know, go and get the print version to get the full effect of the art, you know.
Now, when you talk about marketing, what other, besides working on the Amazon side, what other marketing things have you found are the best for getting noticed?
There are several that I use that do well. Bookbub.com, if you can get in there. They're very kind of, not strict, but picky about what books they'll accept. And Bookbub, the way it works is you go in there, and if you can get them to accept their book, they have categories of millions of members in there. This is like a giant book club where people go in, and it's free to be a member, and you tell them what kind of books you like, and then they send you, you know, when things are on sale or they're in promotion. You can match that to your Amazon book promotions, too. You can run a Bookbub promotion at the same time where you're sending traffic to their millions of members, but it's your link at Amazon. They're not the cheapest thing in the world, but it does work because you're very targeted. So if I write a book on acne, everybody that's in self-help and health and wellness, skincare, that's at the Bookbub, those members would get an email from them saying that Chris Gibson has a new book out. They have people follow you there. So every time you do something, they send something out on you. It's bookbub.com.
And they're not the ones who did Shades of Grey, are they? Who do they go through? They went through somebody.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, boy.
I can't remember. That's another one that went from like digital to.
But do you suggest any print advertising ever? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Print advertising is. How do I want to say this? People try to do it on like Facebook, and there's a thing called retargeting. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second too. Retargeting is where when you go and look at something online, you could do this anywhere. You could be just on Google and go to Target. All right, you go look at something on Target. This is the easiest way to explain this. And then all of a sudden you notice you're seeing ads for Target on your Facebook. You're seeing ads for Target wherever you go now on your anything you're doing online, and that's retargeting. They fixed it where they know where you've been, so they're going to send you stuff that has to do with where you've been. So books don't typically do well on Facebook. Building a following does, but trying to sell a book outright on Facebook is very difficult unless it's a how-to or like a Brenda Burchard or Jack Canfield, that type of thing. The reason for that is it's hard to retarget that to people. You know, it's hard to retarget a novel because that's such a wide range of people. So what I have people do, we have an author who did this here locally, look at your Chamber of Commerce, take out, if you want to sell print books, go to book fairs, have a website where people can purchase them, where you can advertise, you can buy some traffic to it. You could go on Google and set up a little AdWords campaign, spend a little bit of money.
You can help people with all of that.
Yes.
Now, how do they contact you?
The best way is to, I do referrals, so I don't really have like a place to send you, but the document publishing, document.com publishing has a marketing, and they can email me there. And
That's a good start.
And I will go ahead for this show and give out my AOL address because, you know, it's authors. If you're an author and you really, I'm not going to like answer tons of questions, but I will like give you a free consultation.
Okay, good.
CGGIBSON, so CGGibson. number1@AOL.com.
Okay, CG Gibson, number1@AOL.com.
That's my book. That's my book publishing email. That's my private email for that. And I don't mind having people contact me for that. No guarantee I can work with everybody because the book has to be. I have to go look and see that it.
And
can
you have
go.
To like the book.
Yeah.
Now, of course, one of the important things that writers have to do, and is when they do have their book out, they need to have a party. And I have discovered this wonderful place right here, so I'm telling you this too, because when you're looking for a place where you want to hold an event, and I just discovered it 2 weeks ago, and it's so cute. It's called Miami Avenue Wine Bar.
Oh, nice.
And it's right off of Gulf Boulevard in Indian Rocks Beach, just beyond the library there. Not the library, the post office, and the historical, the little historical museum they did. And It's the most adorable place. It's a wine bar. It's she has an art gallery, and then she's opened up the main room into a wine bar. Beautifully decorated, beautifully done. The owner, Bev Malloy, is just wonderful. Just the kind who just greets you at the door and makes everybody feel happy.
Well, nice.
And so if you're looking for a location for an event, and anybody who's having a book signing and wants to bring in a crowd, because she has plenty of room there.
Awesome.
And of course, she's got the wine, and it's all all Florida wines with no preservatives. Those
nice,
wonderful fresh wines, and the ideal place for a book signing. So that's my piece of advice for you. And I love all the advice that you've given today to to authors, and it's so important. Every author should know that. You know, you have to plan. You can't just write your book. You have to plan to build yourself a platform. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the first things is, even if you're just dreaming about writing, and as I say on this program, it's for dreamers. Get your web address. You know, so many authors now. You know, you can't get your name anymore. You have to get. You know, so if you have a name. Common name, you're not going to get that as your web address, but you can get it. You know, if your name is Joe Schmo, get joeschmobooks.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Make
I have
sure
Chris
you
Gibson
add.
Books.
Always make sure that you try to get your web address as early as possible, because you know they go so fast nowadays. And if you just add that word books on your to your name, then it's easy, because when you go to these book fests and you go out and you meet people, you're on the radio and you want to tell people how to
find
you.
Send them somewhere. Yes.
Yeah, it's real easy if you can just say your name with the word books on it and get that web address. So I want to again thank you so much, Chris Gibson, for coming in, and I think that your advice is very, very, very valuable. And I'm sure that the authors that you've turned into bestsellers are very appreciative.
They are. Yeah. I have a long list. I love when someone goes, can I see references? Because there are a lot of jaded folks because they've been burned. I say, oh, absolutely. Here, pick any of these. Just pick
It's really and nice. It must be make you feel.
It does.
It's a fulfilling job. You know, you're in the corporate world, one, you know, doing this, but then to make a difference in people's lives with the work that you do.
Well, that's part of the dream making process. It was a dream for me, and I got to do it. So, sort of, you know, I give back as much as I can and keep the price low so that people can do it. It's really more to guide them through the process.
Yeah, and it's a good feeling to do a job that helps people. So
yes.
It's wonderful, and I want to thank you again. And so this is Patsy with a Z, wishing everyone a great week. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So join me on Thursday and at 11 a.m. right here on Tan Talk Radio. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great week. Thanks. Bye.